Brother Bernd Eckholt. You notice that was B on the program. It's Brother Bernd Eckholt has selected for his lesson at this time, My Goal is Christ. My Goal is Christ. Brother Eckholt.
Thank you, Brother Bob. I know what it is about with the names, because as you could see, I have a European name, Bernd, which is short for Bernard, and you can imagine how that was played around with over the years. As a matter of fact, it wound up that when I was in school and I first came over from the other side, my cousin didn't want to go through all the trouble of explaining to everybody what this first name was about. I got tagged with Butch, and I still have that. So this is how it goes, friends. Anyway, I have a whole bunch of love to send. First of all, this is our second time here. I don't know if you remember me from last year, but I was just a visitor, and I've met a lot of you friends, and of course, it's my pleasure to meet all of you. Perhaps we give it a try, but I would like to, before the convention ends, to at least shake everybody's hand and to get to know each other somewhat. So we send out, or I have love, plenty of love from the eastern coast and our little ecclesia of about 25 in the Jersey City friends send their love to you in a scripture. And of course, brother, one of the brethren mentioned it before. I think it was Ed. And listen, and you remember, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I think it was yours, it was Ed. And the thought with this scripture is that it's almost like an admonition by the Lord to put emphasis on it. Have I not commanded thee? In other words, don't be afraid and be discouraged. This is a little love message from our class. And then, of course, my dear wife, Sister Barbara, sends a love, and our daughter, Rebecca, and many of the other friends that are too numerous to mention, but a lot of the brethren on the East Coast want to be remembered to you. Well, dear friends, we have... It's a little too close, huh? Some of us have a little bit more powerful voices than others. Sorry about that. As it was announced, I looked at the program when I was invited to this class, and I saw the theme hymn, My Goal is Christ. And there's nothing more appropriate than to expound a few words in this area. So if you realize it or not, friends, goals are set by us almost every day on a daily basis. They are set, and some are met. Others have not even come close to our expectations. And some are even forgotten. They're made and they fleet away. The New Year is famous for setting New Year or new goals for ourselves, and we call them New Year's resolutions. Well, brethren, some are more serious and of a greater purpose, and some goals that we set are of a less priority. Some actually only turn into wishful thinking. Some of the goals are of a temporal sort, and we'll just go through a few. We need to spend less, right? This comes up often. Money, that is. This is of a temporal sort. We will endeavor to work harder at our jobs. We must try to get rid of or minimize our credit cards. Oh, I need to exercise a little bit more. I must consider a diet. And, of course, I'd like to get into a diet and then to follow it up also. And these are just of a temporal sort. There are a few goals that are in our minds. And that, they come and they go. How about some spiritual, in the spiritual realm? I need to establish a better prayer life, to be of service to my brethren more zealously, to watch my tongue, to make a goal to attend more meetings, to be more prepared when I come to a meeting, to study more. They all sound familiar, right? Are they goals or just wishful thinkings? You know, brethren, that to reach any goal, no matter how small or large, requires one thing. And that one thing is to have a desire to get to the end. When we sing the words to the hymn, "My Goal is Christ," as we have already and we will again, there's only one way to meet that goal in our endeavors to make our calling and election sure. And that goal is Christ. So this afternoon we will concentrate on that meeting, that goal. One key word in our consideration for today is the word success. Whatever we begin to undertake in our daily lives should have our earnest desire to meet or bring about any goals that are set for us successfully. To have a goal, of course, is wonderful, as we said, especially our goal to achieve eventually the high calling in Christ. That's our setting out to do. But once we have embarked, our thoughts should also include that this will be met with success. I just mentioned before dieting. And of course, as you, maybe you have experienced it, maybe not, but many of the friends even, they set New Year's resolutions and they would like to take off a few pounds. And in this wonderful country we live in, food is a problem, believe it or not, friends. You know what the problem is? Too much. This society of our overabundance is geared to make us slim and trim. Now, you know how much energy and effort goes into that particular phrase that I just said? Billions are spent on diet pills, slim clothes. Now, everybody can almost go to that, can attest to that. When they go into a store, all the clothes that are hanging there are either for teenagers or I don't know for who. Nobody can fit into most of this stuff. That just gives you the idea of what's happening. Diet foods and drinks, we're bombarded with this. TV exercise shows of all sorts, you have them out here on the West Coast. All kinds of organizations are formed to bring that undesirable weight down. We have the Weight Watchers, Overeaters Anonymous, Weight Trimmers Incorporated, we have Lean Line Incorporated, and I can go on and on. I don't know what you have out here, but probably the same thing. Well, dear friends, not to lull you asleep, we're coming down into the point of where we spiritualize. We don't want to bore with well-known facts. We will zero right in on the techniques that some of these organizations use to bring down this excess weight, which sparked the interest on my end. Sister Barbara, well, this is a few years back, maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8, Sister Barbara joined the Lean Lines not too long ago, and their effectiveness is based on the word success. Now, that sparked my interest, because when she came home with all that paraphernalia, the folders and this and what to do and so forth, we saw the word success. There she was told what her goal weight was, or is to be, and what to shoot for. Her goal was set for her, put up there. The way the word success is broken down aroused my curiosity and prompted me to outline this little message of today. Those taking notes, whatever, even mentally, may write them down, because the word is spelled S-U-C-C-E-S-S. They broke it down this way. They said that S is a sense of direction. These are the necessary ingredients in order to lose this weight. A sense of direction. The U letter stands for understanding. The first C in the middle for courage. The next, charity or love. The E stands for esteem. And they had self-confidence for the two last S's and self-acceptance. And I took the liberty and transposed them and made them steadfast. And the other one is suffering. So I found that the words that make up success in this way is absolutely true and necessary to meet our goal. And we will see as we break down this particular word. The first letter is S. And for consideration, our sense of direction. We know in the scriptures that there are three roads. Everybody agrees to that. The highway which mankind will walk on in the kingdom. The broad road that leads to destruction, and the narrow road. Jesus gives us our sense of direction very clearly in Matthew 7:13-14, when he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," gate, for wide is the gate and broad is that way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's our course, brethren. There is no other. No choices, not in this gospel age. Only one direction toward the heavenlies. Our goal, Jesus, can only be reached on this course, on that course, which he had mapped out for us. Did you ever drive up a narrow mountain road? I have, out here on the West Coast a few years when the kids were small, we came out. I had a big motor home, and we're cranking up this Sequoia, this winding road up into Sequoia National Park. And over bridges that where you only have a couple inches either way, you hang on to the wheel for dear life. And then somebody sits next to you and says, look at this beauty, and all you're doing is staring ahead. And actually, I found out, you know the perforations that they have on the steering wheels? I know why they put there, because if they weren't there, you'd put them in there. So the attention span is entirely devoted, for one thing, not to panic or not to lose control. There's no relaxing or sightseeing while we're driving. That comparison, brethren, is typical of us. And our total attention span, in the spiritual I'm talking about, should be to stay on the narrow road. So with the dieter. Let's get back to him now. Or her. It's not an easy road. He's faced with many temptations. He cannot be deviated off his course. The dieter has natural taste buds that go for the cakes, the sweets, the fat things. Oh, they're so good and they're so devastating. Our spiritual counterpart is the same. We're also tempted on this narrow road by the sweet things of this life to keep us from being successful. This is Satan's aim. From keeping our goal in front of us, the sweets and the candies of the world are the leisures, the comforts, the wealth, the extra time for ourselves. Our sense of direction cannot, and cannot be deterred because, why? It's already been mapped out. You get these trip tickets from AAA sometimes, it's all mapped out, all nice yellow lines. Well, the same thing is with the Lord and ourselves. The directions are in his word, and in order to find a way, and I'd like to read something to you from John, the 10th chapter, 1 through 4, and it so beautifully puts it this way. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. There are no shortcuts. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, example and pattern. That's what Jesus is. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So no shortcuts to get through that door, and he leads them out, and they follow him. No shortcuts. Only his voice is our guide. And no one is saying that there are no potholes on this road, brethren, or mountains, or valleys, or ditches, or mud holes, or whatever have you, on these particular roads that are mapped out for us. But the small, narrow, off-time, dangerous, off-the-beat roads, friends, gives us the quiet rides, the most beautiful scenery we can imagine. So the Lord has our direction in the way compensated with many blessings and beauties and peace on that particular narrow road. Although bumpy, without problems, but there are so many blessings on it which we can attest to. We're sitting all here together. As we're having our trials, there's so many compensating factors. With the dieter, his or her direction is a goal. The goal weight that he's to lose, or she, he gets a map of what is good for him to eat. How much and how often. Any deviation from that, we have a problem again. We eat spiritual food to keep us on this path, but we too can get fat. With too many books, television, papers, too much world knowledge, which makes us sluggish and slow to respond. They're not evil, but they make us sluggish. 2 Peter 1:10-11 from the Revised Standard, this is. Therefore, brethren, be more zealous to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's the goal. Is that our goal and sense of direction? I know that all of us are going to say yes. To confirm our call, as Peter puts it, and how important that is. Let's move to the second letter, U. Stands for understanding. They use that. Now, I wonder, when I looked at this, I wonder, what does that have to do with a goal? Why would the dieters use this word to reach or to make them successful in their endeavors? You know what it is, brethren? It's to understand their motives. The dieters have motives. What are they? You've been on a diet, probably. I know I have. One, to look good. When you get up in the morning, you kind of have that little look about yourself, and you see, oh, well, I'd like to take a few here and there. Two, to feel better. Health has a big factor in the picture. Three, to look younger. Four, they do it for themselves or their family or for others or whatever. And you can go on and on. That's the motivation of going on a diet. I'm not talking about literally for us. I'm talking about for everyone. They're motivated by one reason or another. And what is our individual understanding on this? What are our motives for doing what we're doing, is the question spiritually. Is it out of love for the Lord? Or perhaps sometimes we feel we have to. The goal that we made, do we see it often? This scripture was in part mentioned also. Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God. And here comes the emphasis on three times all. It says, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Now that's goal-orientated, brethren. You know, everything is goal-orientated. This particular scripture and that particular scripture. They all have a goal implied. Jesus had a goal. He had the understanding and direction to totally sink his will into the will of his Father's. That should be our motive, and it can become clear with the aid of the Holy Spirit, as we know. And Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding, yours and mine, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then another scripture, John 5:20, from the Revised Standard again. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding to know him, who is true, and we are in him, who is true in his Son, Jesus. Sometimes we have to examine our goals, and so does the dieter. He has to keep reminding himself of why he's doing it, or she. Our motive is love. Love begets love. Our Father loved us first, so much that he gave his only begotten Son. So, you know, brethren, what happens then? If he begets us first, now it becomes reciprocal. We feel compelled to respond because of this understanding. But, you know, we must move on to our next letter, C. And as we mentioned before, that stands for courage. Courage for what? To go on. And, you know, brethren, to go on how? When little results are seen. That's the courage. Not when you make big strides. When little results are seen. When seemingly we're not going anywhere. Not to quit. To keep going. The dieter appropriates this word because it takes stamina, patience with themselves, when after weeks of sacrificing, little results are seen. You know, you ever hear of that the expression? The water weight comes off. And then after that, nothing comes off. And they keep on dieting and nothing is happening. Well, that's the stamina, little results. The trial of discouragement, the temptations that will arise because there's virtually no result, and then to say, what's the use? Well, dear friends, is it so different spiritually? We get in these lulls at times. Does it take courage with our strivings when we see our failures reappear over and over again and we struggle? To set our eyes on our goal when we're down and need it most, that's the hardest. How about Peter? What did he say? In 1 Peter 4:12 in a Revised Standard, Beloved, be not surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though some strange thing were happening unto you. There's a man from experience. A lot of strange things happen to Peter. And most of the time when these admonishments come about, they're the voice of experience. It takes courage to tell men of our goals. Why? Because our flesh, or I should say, it does not like to be called a fool for Christ's sake. It takes courage to step out and be counted no matter what. The dieter makes known their goals by saying it. You know, that's almost embarrassing, friends. I talked to Barbara about that. That was difficult for her. What does it mean? They weigh in. They go in. They weigh in. And by recording their progress from 1 week to the next, they have to go back in and record it. And it gets put up. Everybody knows it. So it's almost an open book. It's almost like saying, are you progressing or aren't you doing anything? By doing this, they profess, and to spiritualize on this is an interesting point. They profess to each other their goals and their problems. They're laid out in the open. You think that takes courage? I think it does. And you know what, brethren? Sometimes it's humiliating, but if we spiritualize and turn this around, so it is with us. It takes courage to openly and truly express and confess our feelings, perhaps our faults, one with another, as the Scripture admonishes us. That's difficult to do in our testimony meetings. You know, we can have testimony meetings and we can have testimony meetings. I've been to both, where sometimes it's a spontaneous thing where someone really opens up and shares and opens their heart and their situation. And before you know it, others enter into the picture. And then other times you can have a testimony meeting that gives you a progress report of how many tracts were left. Now, there are different sorts. I'm not saying that one is versus the other, but there are some where some really share their spiritual needs and failings and perhaps their victories. That will proclaim the real inner struggles in us. And we know that our Lord helps us to overcome this. We can't have a discourse just on courage alone. Moving on, friends, the next letter is another C, and it's charity or love. And it also, I kind of questioned that when I saw it, wondering what they would do with this. What has love got to do with it? And knowing how vast the subject of love is, we're just going to consider it from one angle only. And the angle of usage that the dieter appropriates to themselves in this particular example. The question that arises in the minds of those that are dieted is, do we love what we are doing? It has to be there. Regardless for whom or even for themselves, has to be an inspiration. That motivation, that force in their efforts. Now, how do we feel about love in this way? Do we love what we're doing, dear friends? Do we love to sacrifice? You know, sometimes when I see my way, the way I move about, sometimes with my murmurings and complainings, I don't know where love is in the picture. And I don't want this to be a testimony meeting, brethren. This is a discourse, but it's very difficult always to have this kind of motivation, and we have to work on it. Do we love to sacrifice? There's a point that one of our dear brethren, I don't know, some of you may know him or heard of him, Brother Fry, he's beyond the veil now. He had a thought in a discourse that I'll never forget. I'd like to share that with you. And it virtually struck me. You know, sometimes you hear just one little phrase and it really hits home. He made mention that we have Isaacs in our lives. Now, I never heard that applied that way. And if called upon to sacrifice our Isaac, would we do it without questioning God? And if not, he made mention, we do not even possess the faith that Abraham had. That kind of hit me, because there are Isaacs in our lives, whether we want to admit it or we don't. But if we're called upon to sacrifice that Isaac, what would be our disposition? Do we love to be true to our covenant? Do we love to see it fulfilled? Back to our goals, aren't we? You know, I'd like to share another segment of scriptures with you that I thought was absolutely beautiful in this connection. And this is in the 119th Psalm, and from the 33rd verse on to the 48th. And this is all just beautifully goal-orientated. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me go into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. There it comes now. This is all about delighting to do, about our covenant. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. That's another difficult thing at times. And quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy reverence. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me into thy righteousness. Now these last few remaining verses here are very apropos. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. And now comes the loving of what he's doing here. Now, of course, this is also picture Jesus. So I shall keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Is that our covenant of sacrifice, like this? Like David just expressed it, or which is, of course, a prototype or a projection of Jesus? That's Jesus' covenant of sacrifice. Do we feel the same way? Do we love our motives this strongly? So as with our dieters, brethren, let's get back to him. As he seeks gratification in looking good for himself and to others, and to aim at trimming the body for better health, we too look for pleasing to our future bridegroom, who's waiting for his bride, to make herself ready. For what? To be unsightly? No, brethren. No, but to look beautifully adorned with a clean robe, unspoiled and unsoiled and spotless. Only in that sense we're to love ourselves, in the sense that our bodies are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not that ye're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in us, in you? If any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In that sense we're to love ourselves only, and to love what we're doing. Let's move to our next letter. In the word success, the letter E is esteem. The dieter esteems their diet or effort of great value, a great privilege to go and be invited to different organizations to help them overcome. One that had a problem and overcame it, now they invite them someplace else to help somebody else. Almost like the AAA or AA. We too, dear brethren, like to draw from this word, and the word in definition means just that, to value and to have a great regard for. In other words, dear brethren, we do esteem it an honor to be invited to the high calling. To know what the meaning is of the privilege, or do you know what the word meaning is of privilege? According to Webster's, an advantage, a favor, or an immunity specially granted to one, a special right held by a certain individual, a group, or class. What does that remind you of as you're sitting here? And withheld from certain others or all others. Very interesting, isn't it? And here are some of the things we hold in esteem. These are God's privileges towards us. We're called to be sons. 1 John 3:1. God hath called us to peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15. He called us out of darkness. You know, it's not dark out there now, brethren, not literally, but there's more light in here than there is out there. Now look how bright it is out there, but symbolically speaking, the light is right here. He called us to glory, 2 Peter 1:3. He called us to liberty, Galatians 5:3. He called us to fellowship, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And he called us to a vocation, Ephesians 4:1. These are just some of the favors especially granted to you and I. When we're reminded of these words, then and only then, it becomes so bell clear that it is an honor to be invited. Question. Do we hold our calling in high regard or esteem? It would be the question. He privileged us with this great salvation. I should say there could be no other great esteem on our part. Now we come down to the last two letters, the two S's. One for suffering and the other for steadfastness. What does suffering have to do with dieting? Well, plenty. Yes, brethren, physically, those of us that do not have that problem may not fully enter into this, into the deprivation of food to a body that is accustomed to plenty. Did you know that the stomach has withdrawal symptoms? Did you also know that there's a food addiction to crave food that is over and beyond the body's need to function properly? With a diet, it is a suffering of different sorts besides not eating or refrain from overeating. The temptation of having food all around them, wherever they go, they meet up with people that do not have a problem. It's very difficult. They suffer because few understand their dilemma. They suffer not like someone trying to stop smoking, because cigarettes and drugs and alcohol can be removed forever, as we could see the trials that are going on here in this particular building and the efforts that are being shown to us here. They can be removed forever, but not food. What are our sufferings in aiming at our goal in this retrospect? Did you ever realize, brethren, that we have withdrawal symptoms from the world and the flesh? That the refraining from worldly goods is painful at times? Or that the refraining from pleasing things to the flesh is also a suffering situation? Webster says that the withdrawal from an addiction is accompanied by distressing physiological and mental effects, and without a goal, it is impossible to overcome these things. So that kind of lets us know where we are. Unless we had that goal, my goal is Christ, nothing could be overcome because we are fallen by nature. As we sing this hymn later on, we will have scriptures also that in association with the hymn that come back to our memories. 1 Peter 4:1, it says, "Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind." What mind is that, friends? The mind of Jesus. That's how we arm ourselves. "For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Another scripture, one more. 1 Peter 4:13-14, it says, "But rejoice insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." You know, these are all words. They flow. Words, usually, they come right out. And we can quote them. But it's a different matter when we think about them. "That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." Now, that's another difficult one. I don't know if I'm always happy when I'm reproached for Christ. "For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Brethren, I don't believe that we feel all things are easy. It's a painful thing to say no to the world at times, especially when the motives are good and they may be part of our natural families. You know, our natural families are involved in the world. Some of us have that experience, maybe not all. And when their motives are good, and you're being torn and tugged back and forth, it's not an easy thing to say no, to be with Jesus and the brethren. It's painful to refrain from time-consuming projects that are good and wholesome, as everybody can attest to. And it's painful to let the flesh not have its way. And the law of gravitation holds us down, and we have the fallen nature in us to prove it, brethren. And it wants to go down because that's the downward path of the old man. Now we come to our final letter S, and that is to be steady. The dieter can use this word very appropriately, The whole thought of a diet is not to deviate self-control, and it enters into the picture here, self-control, but the two together, and we have steady self-control. Why is this so important? Without it, everything would fail. Any deviation from the steady course leads to justification. You know how it starts? Oh, that little bit can't hurt. I've observed people that were on diets and that had a problem. That little bit can't hurt. And then after a while, you see things change. And then perhaps the final comment of the whole deal was, oh, what's the difference? What difference does it make anyway? So it starts out, oh, that little bit can't hurt, and what the difference does it make anyway? And the whole thing is gone. Lean line went down the tubes. Everything is finished. We too have been given a word very similar to steady, to steadfast. In Hebrews 3:14, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfastness to the end. And Peter warns us that if we would fall from our steadfastness, if we permit the errors of the wicked ones to draw, or one to draw us away. Brethren, the course we have undertaken to make our goal Christ, we cannot afford to lose our steadfastness. And when we read Paul's admonishments to us from 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? These were some of the ingredients, to wrap it up, that make up this word success. S, to have a sense of direction for ourselves when we to meet this goal. U, to understand what our motives are. C, to have courage to show ourselves for Him. The other C, to have charity to love our calling. E, to esteem our calling very, very highly. And S, to suffer as Christ did. And the last S of that word, to be steadfast and not deviating from our course. I thought it was excellent the way they worked this, because that only that way they feel that these individuals could meet that goal. And if we possess these, we will never fail to be successful. I saved this scripture for last, brethren, because I love it and it fits the topic to a T. It spells out spiritual dieting and points out our goal to Christ, and it should be used as a key scripture for this little talk. It's found in Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with such a greater cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's spiritual dieting, friends. As weights has to go. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Steadfastness. Looking unto Jesus, there's the goal. And the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the example, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what does Webster say about being successful? Having a favorable or satisfactory outcome or result of what we intended to do. So when we sing the hymn, our goal is Christ, that's the beginning. It has to be met with success. And the result from our consecration is and is designed by our Lord to be no less than that, dear friends. Our goal centered in Christ will bring our hopes and aspirations to a reality. And if we're looking unto Jesus and not to take our eyes of Him at all, and are faithful to our covenant of sacrifice, we will surely have met our goal with success. May the Lord add His blessing as we endeavor to do this, and let many times when we have these words ring back into our ears, we're reminded of these things that we talk about, and our characters need to come to be conformed to this image of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless all of us and you.
Thank you, Brother Echol, for another wonderful lesson in building ourselves up into Christ and keeping that daily before us, our minds, our goal. Our goal is Christ and Christ alone. And then Brother will dismiss us with the Lord's blessing.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we yet linger in Thy presence and are before Thy throne of grace, through our only access, our Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for Him and for His sacrifice on our behalf, to draw us out of the world and bring us to this point, to be circled by Thy love and understanding, and that we have a glimpse of Thy wonderful kingdom and an understanding of what will happen to all of Thy world of mankind. So we look forward to this day when the whole world will rejoice as we do before Thee as we sing these wonderful hymns and of Thy wonderful love that showered us. We ask Thy forgiveness for our perhaps murmurings and complainings that are in things that are not pleasing in Thy sight. We ask that Thou would overlook them because we sincerely desire to serve Thee and we love Thee. We're thankful again for all the brethren, and we have the privilege of upholding any of those that are sick, isolated, bereaved, and even walking through the valley of the shadow of death. May they be in the hollow of Thy hand and be strengthened by Thy word. And we look forward to fellowship now, some more. In Jesus' precious name we give thanks. Amen.